Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now. The number 844-322-2742, if that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Reading through the book of Luke, I ran across a verse this morning I want to share with our listeners today. And it's really an answer to the question, how can we be blessed people? You know, that's a big word in the New Testament. We see it in the Beatitudes, blessed. We have a bunch of statements about what it takes to be blessed as far as God is concerned. It's a word that we use quite often. We might sign a letter, blessings, or something like that. But how do we really get to be blessed as people? And in Luke chapter 1, verse 45, I think we see the answer. And this story is the story of Mary and Elizabeth coming together and having a conversation. And as you recall, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. Zechariah was Elizabeth's husband, and he was a priest, and he was called in to do his priestly duties. And while he was there, an angel appeared to him. And you can imagine being in there by himself and lighting incense and all the things that he was doing. And then there's this angel. I think anybody would be terrified. And Zechariah was terrified, and Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid." And he laid out the story. Elizabeth has been barren, but she is going to conceive a child, and you're to call him John, and he's going to come in the power of Elijah. And Zechariah was really, not buying all of this. Like, well, hold up, Trigger. How is this going to happen? And so the angel said, because you haven't fully believed, I'm going to shut your mouth until the baby is born. And so he couldn't speak, and everybody was wondering what happened, and they discerned that maybe he saw a vision or something. Well, sure enough, Elizabeth conceives, and, 9 months later, John the Baptist is born. But before that happens, Gabriel visits Mary and said, "You have found favor in the sight of God, and this is, you're going to conceive. You're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit. You're going to give birth to a son." And as Mary and Elizabeth, and they were cousins, as they came together and talked, the babe in Elizabeth's womb jumped, just knowing that the Lord was in Mary's womb. And Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." The New Living Translation puts it this way. "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." I love that translation. Mm-hmm. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. This is really exactly what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 as far as the essence of faith. We believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him.
Yes.
So God has stated that he's going to do something. We believe it, and we're blessed. Well, what has God said to us? I mean, God says some specific things to Mary, that you're going to give birth to a son, and he is going to be the Savior of the world, and you're blessed of all people. But what about us? What has God said to us? Well, I'm going to give you five verses, and if you're listening, if you're near a pad and a pencil or something, jot these verses down. John 3:16. Most of us probably already know that by heart, but jot that down. John 3:16. 1 John 2, verse 12. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. John 1:12. So we have three passages out of John's writings. Then Romans 4:24-25. Romans 4:24-25, and then Colossians 1:27. So hopefully you've jotted down those passages. And what I want you to do is go and look those up and read what the Lord has said he would do for you. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you believe that the Lord has done for you just what he said? Do you believe he has given you eternal life? You're going to find the answer to that question in John 3:16. Do you believe that the Lord has forgiven your sins? You're going to find the answer to that question in 1 John 2:12. Do you believe he changed your identity from sinner to child of God? You're going to find that answer in John 1:12. Do you believe he has justified you and made you righteous? You're going to find the answer to that in Romans 4, 24 and 25. And then do you believe that he is alive and living in you? You're going to find the answer to that in Colossians 1, 27. The Lord said he would do all of these things, and if you believe the Lord has done what he said, you are blessed. And what does that mean? You are a person possessing the favor of God. You are standing in the grace of God. And boy, that's the best place to be.
That is good news.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love you to join us by phone. If you have a question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 844-322-2742. If there's some topic you'd like a discussion on, why, we're here for that as well. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York, and talk to Tito, listening to us on WMCA. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
God bless you guys.
Thank you
for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
I just have a question. Yeah, I just have a question. I read my Bible in Spanish because Spanish is my original language. And so, but when I read my Spanish version, the name Jehovah is all over the place in Spanish. Like, for example, the book of Joshua, it says Jehovah all over the place. But if I read it in the English version, it says the Lord. And I'm asking you that question because I was watching a video, and that video says, I don't know if it's true or not, but it says that the name Jehovah was invented by a monk in the 13th century. I don't know how true that is, so I was wondering if you guys can help me on that.
Yeah, that's not that far from the truth, actually. The word that's there is a word that was sacred to the Hebrews. They would not pronounce the word.
A four-letter word.
A four-letter word. Yahweh is the way we tend to say
Yahweh,
it now.
Yeah, it's
four-letter word, YHWH. And what happened, in order to make it a bit more readable, later on, after all of the Old Testament was written, some vowels were added to it so that it became Jehovah. Okay, because that would be more the way it was pronounced. But that is just a tool to make it more readable and understandable. It has nothing to do with the word itself. In the more modern English translations, they will generally translate that Lord using capital letters, because it's different than the Lord as in someone who has responsibility over you from a government perspective. This Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, all caps, indicated that sacred name for God, and it is all over the Old Testament because of his initiative into the lives of Israel.
Does that make sense to you, Tito?
Yes, it does, 100%. I just want to, you know, because I saw that video, and as I'm praying, I'm used to, to say Jehovah all the time, And as I speak, that's, I've been a Christian for a long time. I never heard that before. I saw that video and it was shocking to me. In my language, the name Jehovah has become common. You know what I mean? So I mention Jehovah all the time. So I just wanted to ask you guys, because, after I saw that video, I kind of feel uncomfortable saying the name, but because I don't know if it's right to call God, a name that doesn't belong to him. That's what I was wondering,
Well, Tito, I certainly appreciate the reverence that's
yes.
there in your heart. I mean, God is someone to be revered, someone to be worshipped. Just his very name should put us to our knees because he and he alone is worthy of our worship. But it's kind of interesting, Yahweh, when, you know, Moses was being called, selected to lead the people out of Egypt, he asked the question, who am I to say has sent me?
Right.
And God said, right. tell them this, I am who I am. I am. And that's that Yahweh, the four-letter word that the Jews will not say. They will not utter it. And even with the word God, they will put a dash between the G and the D to say that it's something that we should not utter with our lips. It's such a holy, holy word. But the fact that it's translated I am, and the fact that Jesus says that he is the great I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am, that we get to see God up close and personal in the person of Jesus Christ. And this God is always present with us. He's not distant. He's not out there, you know, just abiding his time, doing his thing, and comes when we call. He's always the great I am. And
Amen.
And so we can take hope and comfort that he's always there for us, and specifically in the person of Jesus Christ. So that Yahweh of the Old Testament, with the various names that we see, you know, that he's the most holy, he's our banner, he's our shield, he's our provider. Those are all the names of God, but he has made himself known to us personally and intimately in Jesus. Jesus is the great I am.
Amen.
Well, thanks for your call, Tito.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Tito.
It.
God
yeah.
bless you. God bless you. I really appreciate your ministry. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, same to you, guys.
844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. A reminder, friends, that for your gift of any amount this month, you're going to get a copy of Meet the Author. Of course, it's a one-year plan that you can use as your personal journey to discover the author and finisher of the New Covenant. You'll find a prominent link for Meet the Author at basicgospel.net, or you can call and make your contribution and request your copy by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, distinct from our call-in number, is 844-412-2742. Either way is a good way to get your copy and support the ministry at the same time.
Yeah. And certainly the need is urgent.
Yes.
As we approach the end of the year. It's always urgent for most every ministry.
Yes.
in December because, you know, gifts kind of come in and, you know, and at a certain rate through the year, and then you're left with a big hole moving into December. And we need about 300,000 between now and the end of the year. And so we encourage you, challenge you to give to support this outreach. Like I said, with all the things that are going on in the world today, this darkness seems to be growing and covering more and more. Well, how do we combat that? Well, we take the light of the gospel into the darkness. That's what Jesus did. He was the light of the world. He came into this world of darkness, and the world rejected him because of that. They didn't want their deeds exposed. They didn't want to come out of from under the cover of darkness. And that's the way the world is today. But if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to have an impact, let's take the light into the darkness. And that's what we do every day here on Basic Gospel. We deliver the good news about Jesus. We talk about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We give people hope. Why? Because that's what the gospel does. It gives hope. It produces faith in believers, where folks can really believe that God loves them, that there's no more condemnation in Christ because of his work on the cross, that people are able to genuinely love God and to pass that love on to others and let the light of God's life and God's heart shine through them. That's what this ministry is all about. That's why we're not embarrassed to ask you to support it. It's worthy of your support. It's what the world needs. It's what people need. Look around you. If you're in your office right now, look at the people around you. Do they need Jesus? And the answer is yes, they do. Look as you're driving home. You may be in New York City. You got a lot of people to look at.
I
guarantee you that. You may be in Louisville, Kentucky, or Denver, Colorado. As you drive home, there's people that you pass every single day that need Jesus. Well, here's a way to help get that message to them by supporting the delivery of the good news through Basic Gospel. So come stand with us. A gift of any amount will mean so much to us here on the ministry team, but will mean even more to people out there who hear, who believe, and who begin to live this good news in their day-to-day life. So if you can give a gift of $100 right now, call Billy and tell her at 844-412-2742 or go to basicgospel.net. Make a contribution online. Maybe you can give $1,000. Maybe you can give $5,000. Whatever God puts in your heart to do, do it. Why? Because people need Jesus.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Well, again, you found Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk to our friend Clay in Hutto, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I was listening to that about Zacharias and about Mary as an example of being blessed, and That's a real good example in Scripture. And I don't have my Scripture with me today because I'm driving in town. But I have always had a question. I want to see what you think about it, Bob. It says John the Baptist was born, they were gathered together. And it says they made signs unto Zacharias as what the child should be born. Do you believe that he was deaf as well? Because why would they have made signs when they could just talk to him?
Well, that could be, trying to, because they knew he couldn't talk. So the scripture doesn't say, it just says when he came out of the temple, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So Zechariah was making signs to the people. And they gathered from those signs that he had seen, a vision.
Yeah, and it says his tongue was loosed immediately after he wrote the name of John. Okay.
Yes.
Only reason I bring that up because faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that would kind of run parallel. Basically, God wasn't going to have another situation like he did with Abraham and Sarah in that situation and delay because time was imminent to prepare the way for the one that was to be born on an appointed time.
Yeah. Now, whether he was deaf or not, it is interesting, once they took him to be circumcised on the eighth day, everybody was wondering. Elizabeth said his name was to be John, and they're thinking, well, wait a minute, you should name him Zechariah. There's no one in your bloodline by the name of John. And so they were giving signs to Zechariah to find out what the name of the child should be. So why they were doing that, I don't know. It doesn't really say whether he was deaf or not. It just simply says he was unable to speak.
You can't, even today, we can't speak the word of God unless we hear it.
You're right.
So, and it's not necessarily with our natural ears. But anyway, that I hope we have some more of this about this Christmas season. To me, is a representative of a lot of faith that took place, especially when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That goes a long way in our lives, too.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We can learn a lot about how to walk by faith in this world simply by looking at the responses of Mary and realizing that she was blessed because she believed that God would do exactly what he said he would do. And we're blessed in the exact same way when we believe God has done for us exactly what he said he would do for us and giving us new life in Jesus and taking away our sins once and for all and giving us a new identity, declaring us to be righteous, justifying us, reconciling us, giving us an inheritance, an eternal inheritance, a hope. It's a long list of things that God has done, that God said he would do. And for those of us who believe it, we're blessed people.
Ooh, that's a good definition, because most people say, God bless you, brother. I say, what does bless mean? I'd say 90% of the people I've asked that to have no idea that it simply means to believe what God has said and what he's recorded in his word.
Yes, that brings us contentment, joy, and happiness. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, Clay, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. See you, man.
Okay.
From Modesto, California, Fernando has a question. He says, would you please explain what it means when people say God will open a door for a good job or God will open a door to have money? What door are they speaking of?
First door to the left.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's just the fact that we can trust God. We can actually put these problems into his hands. Our anxieties into his hands, because we know that he cares about us. So if we have needs, he's promised to meet those needs. So if those needs are going to be met with a new job, then he has to open the door for that new job. Now, that doesn't mean we just sit and wait for the door to be opened. A lot of times we're going to see those doors as we go out and make ourselves available. We're knocking on doors, so to speak. So a good friend of mine, Henry, says this: exposure creates opportunity. If you're just hiding in your room praying, Lord, give me a job, and aren't out there knocking on doors, sending resumes, you're probably going to be sitting in that room praying for 6 months, a year, still waiting for that job.
Yeah.
So go out, knock on some doors, and trust the Lord with the results, and you'll see some doors open. And what they are opportunities. They're not literal doors. They're opportunities.
Well, in fact, that's where the statement came from. I mean, you would go and knock on a door, and if the door was open to you, that means as a salesperson, for example, you would have an opportunity to sell something. Well, we borrowed that and brought it into church and kind of turned it into jargon. It's the same idea. It's just making yourself available in everyday life to see what God's going to do with
Absolutely.
It.
And he will do something with that. You can count on it. So if you're struggling, if you're looking for a job, looking for something, get out there. Put your best self forward. Knock on doors. Send resumes. Look online. And see what God has for you. You might be surprised.
Yes.
And it might be better than you ever dreamed or imagined possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good stuff, guys. Thanks for sharing, as always. Friends, you know, Basic Gospel is on the air each day to get the word out that Jesus is alive and wants to share his life with you. You hear it every day on Basic Gospel, and we extend our thanks to each of you who have partnered with us to keep the good news coming. If you're benefiting from what you hear each day, we ask you to join us in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts so that others can hear this permanently life-changing message. And for your gift of any amount this month, we're going to send you a copy of our Bible reading plan called Meet the Author that Bob was talking about just a little bit earlier on the broadcast. To claim your copy and support the ministry at the same time, you will find a prominent link at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742.
They're just giving me a note right now that they want the scriptures that I listed out at the beginning to be repeated. So we're going to do that before we go off the air. So
hurry.
The five scriptures that we mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast are these: John 3:16, 1 John 2:12, John 1:12, Romans 4, 24 through 25, and Colossians 1, 27. I did it.
You did it. For Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. Bye-bye.